Genesis chapter 5. The verse we want is verse 22. We want Genesis chapter 5, verse 22, but I'm going to read a little bit with you as we get into our text. It's about Enoch and his walk with God. The Bible says in Genesis 5, 22, Enoch walked with God. But look up here at the beginning in Genesis chapter 5 at verse 3, for instance. Adam lived 130 years and begat a son in his own likeness after his image, and he called his name Seth. So this boy was born after Cain and Abel. Called his name Seth. And the days of Adam after he'd begotten Seth were 800 years, and he begat sons and daughters. And all the days that Adam lived were 930 years, and he died. All right, Seth lived 105. He begat Enos. And then he lived after he begat Enos 807 years, begat sons and daughters. All the days of Seth were 912 years, and he died. Enos did the same thing, and Canaan did the same thing, and Mahalalel did the same thing in verse 15. And Jared, Enoch's father, in verse 18, lived 162 years, so he waited a little longer to get married. He begat Enoch. Jared lived after he begat Enoch 800 years. He begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Jared were 962 years. He almost lived as long as Methuselah. And he died. And then in verse 21, Enoch lived 65 years, so he married a lot earlier than his father did, begat Methuselah. And Methuselah is a name. You know, those names have significance. Methuselah means when he is dead, it shall be sent. Enoch knew something bad was fixing to happen 900 years later. No rush, right? But he knew something bad was fixing to happen. It shall be, after he's dead, it shall be sent. So in verse 22, Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. You know, it's interesting when you read this genealogy, and I just kind of skirted through it fairly quickly. What do you have going on? You have men living their lives. You got a guy named Adam, and you know who he was because he's the guy that's made from the dirt. And they have Cain and Abel. Cain kills Abel, and then they get Seth, and Seth has, you know, he does what all the kids do. Eventually he gets married, and he has sons and daughters, and he dies and lives a long time. They're living nearly 1,000 years. And there's nothing said about that's anything remarkable about any of their lives. They're just living life. And then all of a sudden, this guy named Enoch shows up, and all of a sudden, Enoch, after 65 years, gets married, and all of a sudden, he has this baby named Methuselah, and it's like, whoa, wait a minute. And the Bible makes it a point to let you know that this man walked with God. Now, nothing in genealogies is remarkable. You read 1 Chronicles chapter 1, verse chapter 10, and it's like, wow, man, you know, this one begat that one, begat that one, begat that one. And it's exhausting. And you have to dig around in there if you're going to find a nugget or two. But it's interesting, in the same similar kind of situation here, we have people that are living over 900 years, and all of a sudden there's this guy named Enoch, and he stands out. And he stands out because of what? He walked with God. And God said, I want you to know that. As a matter of fact, he walked with God until one day I took him. It was a rapture. Enoch is in heaven right now. He never died. He never will die. He is a picture of you if Jesus comes in your lifetime. You are going to go to heaven and you will never die. And that's a good thing. And some people have said, I'm dying to get out of here by the rapture, dying. You know something? We've been talking on Sunday nights about how it is that people stray from the Lord. And how it is that they could do something to keep from straying from the Lord. And I'll tell you what it is today, because we've talked about some other things. You want to know what it is? You need to walk with God. That's what you need to do. And the thing that was remarkable about Enoch's life is It wasn't said about the others, but it was said about him. That man walked with God. There was something that was outstanding in God's view to note in your Bible for all of eternity. That man walked with me. You know, I get to thinking about those other men's names that are in this genealogy. And you know what they were doing? They were doing the unremarkable things that most people on the earth do. Most people today, they grow up in their home, and then they go to school, and they get out of school. If they go on for further education, they might get some further education, but eventually they get out and they get a job, and what do? They account for numbers, they build bridges, they count people's money, they build things, or tear up things and build things. Or they teach and preach, or they windsurf, or they clean up after Christians in churches, or they mix pharmaceuticals, or they build houses. I'm just looking around the room, right? Or they try to control the border that's within the limitation that you can't. But keep count of them anyway. Let us know how many get across today. Right? Or sell some furniture, right? And practice law. Do some medicine. And retire. And it's pretty unremarkable. I mean, you're remarkable to your kids because you're dad. Or to your grandkids because you're granddad. Or to your friends because you do it well and probably better than a lot of other people do it. But all told, pretty unremarkable. We're pretty much just going through life. You know, you eat and I eat and you sleep and I sleep and you snore and I do sometimes. You walk the dogs and you pick up after the dogs. You know, I realize the neighbors are very happy about that, but that's really something to be walking around with one of those bags in your hand after, you know, it's just, you know, just... It's pretty unremarkable until you get to Enoch. And then that was pretty remarkable. That man walked with God. Do you understand? God is here right now. You know that. And God is in you, and you'll get in your car and you'll go home and you'll do like, wow, 3 days. How about we have a T-bone tonight with 2 baked potatoes and a extra ranch dressing on the salad, because it's going to be a while before we eat. This is going to be like hibernation. If you have a T-bone tonight, you're going to regret Thursday morning. Some of you will understand why. But you know something? We don't come here and just check in with God, and then we're going to go back and do whatever we do. God desires that we walk with Him. That's what He desires. And He made it a point in a boring segment of Scripture to let you know that there is something outstanding and different about a person who will walk with God. All right, and so tonight we want to talk about this. For any person here that is old enough and is already saved, we're talking about some pretty young people here, and we're talking about some people that are on the other end of the spectrum, and we've lived a while. You can be and should be walking with God. And I want to tell you, in the 4 words that we see here, Enoch walked with God, there are 3 very important things about, excuse me, this walk. Number 1, your walk with God is, listen, personal. It's personal. Enoch walked with God. Do you understand? That's a man's name. That's an individual. In a society where people are living nearly 900 years, there are a lot of people here by that time. And it doesn't say that Enoch was walking with his buds, or Enoch was walking with God. It is an individual walk. His walk was just between him and God. Now, the remarkable thing about God is he is omnipresent, meaning you can walk with God as if you and he are the only two walking together, and you can walk with God as if you and he are the only two walking together, and his walk with God will not interfere your walk with God, because God will be able to give him all the undivided attention and you all the undivided attention, as if you were the only person on earth like Enoch that was walking with God that day. It's an individual walk with God that is just between you and God. Do you understand? It wasn't about his wife. We don't know whether his wife walked with God or not. She didn't get raptured. You know, there are some people who limit their walk with God by what the rest of their family is doing. And there's some men that would say, I could walk closer with God if you'd spend more time walking with God. This is an individual walk. It has nothing to do with the people that live under your roof. Or some kids here are like, well, you don't know how it is. You know, my parents seem to take great interest in what you're saying there at church, but at home we don't really do that much. We watch all TV, you know, mow the grass, do all that kind of stuff. They don't really have, you might say this, I don't know if it's true, they don't really seem to have much of a walk with God. That doesn't mean you can't. That doesn't mean anything about that at all. And you don't have to wait until you're 65 years old to start walking with God. It just happened that Enoch caught on by the time he was 65. We have benefited from what Enoch learned, and we can start at this on a younger age. Your children or your parents or your spouse or your friends, if they're not walking with God, have no influence on your ability to walk with God. You and I must have a personal walk with God. Enoch walked with God. You know, this is not something that's imposed on you by anyone else. I will tell you, because of what we see with Enoch, that you ought to have a walk with God, but I'm not going to go around behind you, and neither is anybody else, to check up on you to see if you are. We live in an age where accountability groups seem to be the real thing of the day. You're accountable. Let's make ourselves accountable to each other. I do not want to be accountable for your walk with God, because I'm having a hard enough time, right, keeping up with my own self. And I don't mean that selfishly. It's that personal. It's really nobody else's business. It's between you and God. So it's not really imposed on you, but this is something you do, listen, because you want to walk with God. Do you understand that? God is available for you to walk with him, but he's not beating you up if you're not walking with him. I don't see where he beat up any of the other people that were here. Nobody's life was cut short here. That they all live long lives. You know, the wicked only live out half their lives. Well, there wasn't anybody that died in 450 years. They lived out the full term. You don't get the impression that the people that are named here were bad people, or that they were wicked people, or that they were sinners above all other men. They're common, good, sort of salt of the earth, ordinary type citizens, apparently. Except one guy just said, I want to do more than that. I want more out of life than that. Listen, if God is willing to let me walk with him, if God will privilege me with the opportunity to walk with him, I want to walk with God. That's how it was. It's your decision. You get to decide. It's your choice. You get to choose how close you want to be to him. I will just say this, he's available for a walk if you're willing to go with him. It's nice to know that you're with God because you want to be with God. You know, so much of this preaching of religion and so forth, it's all about you got to jump through these hoops so that somehow or another you don't feel guilty when you ask God for a favor. Really and truly, a lot of people live their lives, well, if I confess this and pray this and go here and go there, then God will be nice enough to let me pray and I can ask him for something and he'll give it to me. When you're walking with God, it's not like that. You're not jumping through any hoops. You're just, you and God are having that time together. Enoch walked with God. Do you want to walk with God? You can do that. And you say, well, I don't know if I would know how. I haven't been saved that long. Hey, last time I checked, here's how footsteps go. Right? You just get his hand and start walking with him. Wherever you are. The nice thing about God is everywhere at all times, all the time. So if you feel like in your spiritual life you're here and somebody else may feel like their spiritual life, and maybe they really are, is down there, you just pick up with God wherever you are. You don't have to go get over there where they are and then you can start walking with God. You just walk with God. Okay? So it's an individual thing, and every individual Christian in the sound of my voice can walk with God and should walk with God. And you are aware. Listen, if Ann and I are walking together, and we love to walk. We walk in the neighborhood, and we walk whenever we're traveling and I'm preaching. We look for a park where we can walk between the sessions and stuff like that. We love to do that. Do you know I'm aware of the fact that she's there when we're walking together? I won't tell you how, but no. And she's aware of the fact that I'm there. There's a closeness in that. And it's similar when you walk with God. You should be aware that you and God are, right, having this walk together. A lot of Christians, it's not like that. It's, I say my prayers and then I go on about my day. I go to church and then I go on about my week. There's no walk with God. You're just checking in. All right, so what is it? Enoch. Walk with God. It's personal. It's yours. Second thing about this is that it is continual. It is continual. Look at this. Enoch walked with God. So he didn't just check in with God. They were together everywhere they went. And it doesn't say God walked with Enoch. It said Enoch walked with God. Do you understand? So when Enoch gets up in the morning, he's figuring out where God is, and we're going to go God's way. He's not going where he wants to go and hoping that God will go with him. There's a big difference in that. If God is forced to walk with me, and he said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, but it's not the same as having that continual walk, then you go wherever you are and you're hoping God is there along with you. What if you go someplace God doesn't want to go? Or what if you go someplace where God is not welcome? Or what if you're having conversation that God doesn't want to be a part of, or watching something that God doesn't want to see? Then y'all aren't really going to be having a continual walk, because while he never leave you nor forsake you, he's not participating in your exercise. You understand that? So Enoch said, we're not going to do it that way. God, we're going to go where you go. So he didn't walk where God wasn't welcome. Do you understand that a walk with God is something that affects your entire day? From the time that you awake in the morning throughout the day until you go to sleep at night, you are going where he's going. And God's a God that goes. Didn't he say, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature? Didn't he say that? And didn't he say, the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, you know, right, on the face of the deep? Things are moving with God. I suspect when a person is having a continual walk with God, what will happen is that you are where God wants you to be when he wants you to be there. And there's no uncertainty if you're walking about with God as to what it is he wants you to be doing at that time of the day or at that time in your life. You never leave God, and God never leaves you. Where are we going today, Lord? What are we doing today? You know, what happens when you're walking with God is that your walk with God, your continual walk with God, keeps you from veering off into directions that you don't need to be going or into ditches where you get stuck. You understand? When you're walking with God, you don't end up someplace you shouldn't be, or you don't end up with someone you shouldn't be with, right? Or hanging out with somebody you shouldn't be associated with, where He wants you to be. And the nice thing about that is that I can remember years ago when we left Houston to take the job in Beeville. We had saved a little bit of money, and back then a little bit of money went further than a little bit of money goes today. And Ann and I decided we wanted to take a trip in the car from Houston as far up into New England as we could go and come back before reporting, okay, to the job in Beeville. So Houston, we left in April. That gave us May and June. We had to be in Beeville into June and start work in July, if I remember correctly. So it gave us 2 months. And we had this book, and the book, we had a couple of books, actually. We had one called Back Roads and Country Inns, because back then there was no Airbnb and Vrbo. There were no Google Maps. So we had that book, and we had an atlas, a road atlas. Okay? Some of you know what a road atlas is. All right, so we had those two books. So what we do? We left Houston. Where are we going? Well, let's get our little book out and we'd see. And we look through there and say, oh, well, we're heading in Louisiana. And this little town right there, they got this place where you could say this country inns. It told you all the people who had homes that would rent out either space or a room in what then became bed and breakfast. Okay? And so you'd go and they had it all set up. Sometimes there were maybe three bedrooms in there. It might be three couples from different parts of the country there. You might have it all to yourself. We didn't know. And you get up in the morning, they would fix you a full breakfast, not a continental breakfast. And we'd get in the car and say, well, what do you want to do today? And we'd kind of goof off a little bit and say, I don't know, let's get the book out and see where else we might go today. And all during that 2 months, we just went from country inn to country inn and back road to back road and wandered around in the atlas. But we spent the entire time together. And we'd have breakfast at the Do you know back in those days when it was that kind of thing, the most expensive from Texas to Maine, the most expensive overnight place was $50. The average was $35. I had full breakfast and a nice place to stay. But at that time gas was $2 a gallon. Oh wow, that seems cheap now, doesn't it? And every lunch was a picnic of either egg salad sandwiches or pimento cheese sandwiches. I know. I hear you. Okay. But that was us. And we'd just pull over on the side of the road somewhere. And we'd just sit down. We'd just enjoy that picnic. And then we'd go. And we'd someplace we'd get. And we'd say, you know what? This is really nice. Can we stay here another night? Sure, you stay another night. Or we'd say, this was a dump. Let's keep going. And we just go find them another place. For 2 months, we did that. Now, and also, audio books were not recorded at that time. So we'd get an Agatha Christie. And whoever was driving would drive, and the other person would either navigate and do the road map. That was exciting. And read the book. And read the story. So we were our own audio book. We were just a self-contained old good old time. You know what? I will never forget in all of my life, because that was many, many years ago. That's over 40 years ago when Ann and I did that. Those 2 months we spent together, what did we do? We just went place to place together. Do you understand what I'm talking about? She and I were together all the time, everywhere, just spending time together. Walk with God. Just spend time with God. It doesn't say that they did some. There are times you can read in Hebrews, you can read in Jude some things that Enoch did. He did some things for God, but his whole life wasn't spent always just doing some things for God. They just spent some time together, cruising. And you ought to be doing that with God, just wherever he wants you to go. Go along with him and eat a pimento cheese sandwich for lunch because you're with God. Do you understand? Everybody's looking for all this entertain me and the new thing. We didn't do all that. We just rode around and just had a great time together. Kind of like Wyatt and Cameron are trying to do right now. Just riding around having a good time together. Newlyweds. Y'all walked out of here all smiles like that. Officer Bradley was there. I said, yeah, newlyweds. Yeah, he's newlyweds. That kind of stuff ought to be like that for us with God. What are you doing today? Just spend a little time with God. Really, what are y'all going to do? Whatever he wants. Do you see that? Enoch, listen, walked with continual. Individual, it was his walk. Continual. And it was also spiritual. Enoch walked with, help me, God. God is a spirit. We want to get involved in carnal things. And I'm not shaming carnal things here at all. It's fun to take a boat ride. It's fun to shoot a gun. It's fun to ride a bicycle. Right? But Enoch walked with God. Sometimes it didn't involve anything but walking with God. It was spiritual. There was a spiritual benefit to the walk that carnal things could not match. Do you understand? They that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Your walk with God will affect your spiritual life, and your spiritual life will affect everything else about your life. It will change your life. Your spiritual life will affect everything about you. We were doing a discipleship lesson right before the meeting this evening, right before church this evening. And we looked in there about the will of God. And the will of God, among other things, is for you to work for your employer as unto the Lord and not unto men. Doing the will of God from the heart, not as men pleasers. And he said he would reward you if you do that. Well, can you imagine you are walking with God where you go to your place of employment and that's affecting your spiritual life, and while you're there, everybody else is doing what employees do the way they do, and you're doing things the way a person walking with God does, and your employer says, I don't know what it is about that guy or that girl, but they seem to always be doing a much better job than the other people that work for me. Why is that? Because you're walking with God. That spiritual walk changes your work attitude, because you're not just working for the paycheck and you're not just working for the employer. You're working for the Lord, and you can do anything better. Anything you can do, I can do better. Why? Because I'm doing it for the Lord when you're walking with God. And it becomes notable. After a while, people that know you will look at you and say, there's something different about you than the other people that I know. Indeed, there is. What is it? I'm walking with God. Seriously, I can't see him. No, but he's here. When you're walking with God, you know you're with God. And when you're walking with God, other people know you're with God. Enoch, in walking with God, got a view of his society that was very different than everybody else who was going along out there. Keep your finger here. I want you to go to Jude, the book right before the book of Revelation, and notice this in verses 14 and 15. All right? Jude, the little book right before Revelation. Enoch also. The seventh from Adam. Well, you read the names of the people that were between them. Nothing remarkable. The seventh from Adam prophesied of these, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints. Now, wait a minute. When does the Lord come with 10,000s of his saints? What is it? Second Advent. He hadn't even been here the first time when Enoch said this. Do you understand that? How did he get that? Walking with God. to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. You know, Enoch recognized something about his society he lived in. It was ungodly. How did he know that? Because he was walking with God. Right? And he could tell the difference between what people who walk with God and people who are not walking with God do. And he could say, the Lord's coming with 10,000. He's going to straighten out this mess. Well, you know what came before the Lord came with 10,000 of his saints? The flood at the end of Methuselah's life. And you know what came? A baby born in a manger. A lamb to save all those ungodly sinners like us. So we, like Enoch, could walk with God. Thank God God put this in the book. And now you know what's happened to you. You've been walking to God and you look around there and you say, man, this is an ungodly place. It is. And you know what you're saying now? God's going to come with 10,000 of his saints and he's going to bring judgment and convince all these ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds. And you just got to be like Enoch did. You say, how was that? Because you started walking with God and you recognize there's a difference. There's a difference. It's spiritual. Spiritual. You know what the other thing is? You get a burden for that. You look around there and you see ungodly sinners and you know the judgment's coming. It's kind of like, you know something? Between Enoch walking with God and the coming with the, for this judgment, Jesus Christ came and died for your sins and you're walking with God and God nudged you like this. You ought to tell them about me. They can't see me. They don't know what it is that's different about you, but why don't you tell them? And it's not hard. God doesn't have to scream or anything. Just nudge you a little bit because you're right there together. And you're not afraid to tell him because you're right there together. He's there to take care of you. And it's almost like, well, what should I say? And it's almost like God's just putting the words in there and you're just saying what he wants you to say. And say, well, how would you know that? Well, he's here. We're walking together. And I'll tell you something, the more you walk with him, the more you want to walk with him. And the more you walk with him, the more he wants to walk with you. You know he'll never leave you, but get to the point you don't ever want to leave him. And it brings us back to how we started this message. You know what it is about young people that stray? They never start a walk with God. You come here and just check in, do your church thing, and then you go, you can't wait to get back to your friends in the neighborhood or whoever it is, you like to, your buds you like to hang out with that don't know God, and you're more comfortable hanging around with them than you are hanging around with God. It's no wonder you're going to stray. You start hanging around with God. I realize they're different, but you know what? You think, you know, this thing with God is pretty good. I don't want anything to interrupt the great time that we're having together. You know something? If you don't have a personal walk with God, you can't fake it forever. People that are walking with God are going to pretty quick understand you're not walking with God. There's just something about the words of a hypocrite pretending to be walking with God that ring untrue. It's like, that doesn't sound like a walk with God at all. That sounds like an old man pretending to be walking with a God that doesn't know anything about walking with him. You can't fake it forever. And I also say this, the product of a personal walk with God, you cannot hide. After a while, people say, you know what, that, I'll tell you, I don't know much about that guy, but I'll tell you this, that guy walks with God. You can't hide it. You can't fake it if you don't have it, and you can't hide it if you do. It shows up after a while. Because you're just doing the God thing. And God knows for sure if nobody else knows. After all, he's the one you're walking with. Wouldn't it be horrible for you to go and say, oh yeah, preacher, I have a pretty good walk with God, and over there, and God's over there going, are you kidding me? If you could see me now. That's not a walk with me. Why don't you change that if you're not walking with God? And just say, you know what I want to do tonight when I leave here? I want to make a conscious effort to walk with God. How would I do that, preacher? I'll tell you, it's very simple. It's very simple. Again, you're hearing a message and you might want to respond to it. This altar is always a good place to begin. I'm telling you, you have to come here, but I'm just telling you it's a good place to begin because God meets people at the altar. If you've ever been to an altar before to pray, you know God meets you at the altar. Or you meet God at the altar and you say, you know what, Lord, I'm really sorry. I've been walking with the world and talking like the world. I haven't been walking with you. And first thing I want to do is I want to tell you, I'm sorry about that. I really am. I'm sorry that I hadn't been walking with you. Yeah, listen, the Holy Spirit is here tonight. He's already letting you know whether you have a close walk with God right now or not. I'm just preaching the message. But if he's talking to you and say, man, you hadn't walked with me in years, or that's not a walk with me, then make your way to God. Make your way to the Lord and just say, Lord, I'm sorry I hadn't been walking with you. But when I get up from here, I want to take you by the hand, spiritually, and I want to walk out of here and I want to walk with you. And when you get home and the TV is on, just turn it off. Why? Because he's probably not interested in that show that's on there right now anyway. Yeah, but preacher, you don't understand. It's my favorite show. It's probably not his favorite show. Okay, so just to turn that off. Well, I'm kind of bored. What am I going to do now? Well, why don't you talk to him and see what he'd like you to do. Maybe he wants you to pray a little while and talk with him. Maybe he'd like you to sit and think about what you've heard today in the preaching of the Word of God and meditate on it and see how it affects your life. Maybe he wants you to open up the Bible and take you to a passage of Scripture where he can show you something that he wants to show you that will help your life. And then when you go to bed, why don't you do what we used to do in the old-fashioned days, just kneel down beside your bed and have a little conversation with the Lord and ask the Lord to give you some sweet dreams tonight, not that stuff you've been dreaming about. And go to sleep and so he giveth his beloved sleep, the Bible says, and just lay down there and get you a good night's sleep. And when you wake up, tell the Lord, when I wake up in the morning, I want you on my mind. And get up in the morning and say, Lord, good man, it's good to see you. Thank you for a good, and then thank him for a good night's sleep. And then when you go over there to make breakfast and realize, oh, I can't make breakfast today. What am I to do now? And then it'll say to you, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. And then you just say, okay, well, let me see. Let's try this out, Lord. And you and he just start walking together. Just be conscious of him with you at all times, meditating on him, praying to him. And then, like I said, you know, maybe you can't fast from food. Take a media fast. I'm not going to post for 3 days. People are going to think I died. My phone is just going to blow up. It's okay. Okay. They'll know you're alive on Thursday. I mean, the kids are going to take a media fast till camp is over. So it's okay. You'll live. What do I do? Just get with God. Get with God. Talk to God. Walk with God. He's here. He's here. Yeah. You here, Lord? Yeah, I'm here. Okay. Just want to be sure. Where are we going? You will love where he takes you. You will be glad you're walking with God. You will see marvelous things from his perception. And he'll show you marvelous things in the Word of God. And you'll be glad that when you get to heaven, your testimony will be like Enoch's. You know what Enoch's testimony was before his translation? That he pleased God. And I know something about God. When he's pleased, you're happy. It's a personal walk. It's just you. Don't worry about if anybody else in your family is willing to go. You go. It's continual. Don't ever break it off. And if anything's breaking it off, cut it off. And it's spiritual. So it's not like carnal entertainment. It has a different appeal, a better appeal, a lasting appeal, a satisfying appeal. Walk with God. Father, we're thankful tonight to be instructed from the words of God. We ask you, please, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, to help us. Enoch is our type. He was the one raptured in his lifetime. And we will be too if it's on your schedule to be here before we die. Lord, we'd love to follow his testimony. Help us tonight to be very conscious of what we've heard and how it is that you want us to live it in our lives for your sake. For we ask you to do it in Jesus' name. Amen.